This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. I got to tell you, Tuesday afternoon, my heart is full, folks. I have had an incredible, well, I started to say weekend, and I'm thinking week, then I'm thinking no, month. It really has been. The last 30 days has just been remarkable. So much hard work over the last few months and years that came to fruition in the last few weeks, and especially the last couple days. I got the best job on the planet. I mean, not only just getting to sit here and, you know, smack my gums and talk about what I believe and all those things, but, you know, at Patriot Academy, I get to mentor these young people and spend time with these kids that just love the Lord and have a passion for the country and just want to be poured into. And this last, I guess, 3 or 4 days has been the culmination of a lot of that pouring into them. And so we had a great week last week. We had welcomed about an extra, you know, 100 students to the campus. If you might recall, I broadcast a little bit from the campus last week, and we had, you know, students there that were, you know, some of them were part of our 30-day intensive. So they had been there for several weeks, and then some of them had just gotten there when we recorded some of that, and I interviewed some of the leaders and shared that with you. But Friday night, so this would have been after my last show Thursday, Friday night we had what we call our Passing the Torch of Freedom banquet. And that's it's sort of the, you know, climax of the whole week, the you know, mountaintop experience, if you will. It's everything they've learned for that week and for those that were there for the whole month. Brought into this one moment in the evening where we have military veterans come to the front, and as I tell a couple of stories about the signing of the Declaration and sacrifice of those who came before us, and that we're ceremonially going to have these military veterans pass the torch to the kids and essentially say, I was willing to die for your freedom, now it's time for you to go live it. And these are, when I say kids, these are 16 to 25-year-olds. So these are high school, college, law students, people, some of these kids, you know, just young 20s, already started their lives, and they just wanted to learn how to be better citizens. And so this ceremony on Friday night is, you know, the culmination of all of that. And Cleve McCleary was there. He's just an amazing guy, phenomenal hero. Just love Cleve. He Vietnam veteran. You know, lost an arm, leg, eye. Just an incredible story. Has a great book called Living Proof. And we've had Cleve out before. He's done the dinner before. It's been about 5 years. And he had come down to Texas to minister to all these first responders. And for the listeners that don't know, our campus, our Patriot Academy campus, is right in the middle of all the flooding. We're surrounded by Kerrville and Centerpoint and Comfort and Lake Travis and Lake Austin and all, you know, the rivers 10 minutes from our house, from our campus. So, you know, we got all this stuff going on around us as well, and been helping there. And Kleeb had been down here for a couple of weeks helping with Samaritan's Purse, just ministering to the first responders that are out there just day in and day out. And a lot of people have forgotten about this and moved on. We were out there doing some work today, helping a guy with his property, and there were still search teams out there. And so this is still going on. I mean, that's literally this morning. Anyway, so Kleeb had called me and said, "Hey, man, I'm in town, and you know, let me know if I can do anything to help you guys." And so we had him come out to the dinner, and it was just the cherry on top. I'm telling you, his story so amazing, and he was such a blessing to the kids, and just stood there and, you know, visited with them and talked with them and signed books, and he's just one of those characters that just lights up a room and just encourages you. So that was cool Friday night. And he, you know, when we do that passing of the torch, these kids come forward and they actually sign the declaration. Right after I tell the story of the actual signing of the declaration, they get called forward in the same way. Total silence. You know, their name is called David Hoven of Virginia. And he comes forward and takes the pen, you know, and signs this massive declaration that we blew up for them to sign. And it's just a cool ceremony, okay? And when that's over, everybody goes home that night already just emotionally drained because it's so powerful and you're just so encouraged and you're just, you know, crying because you see the next generation stepping up. And then the next day, Saturday, we have the actual graduation of these students on the house floor at the Patriot Academy campus. And then it's another tearjerker because it's just, I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, you just see this sea of these young people that have spent all this time with us pouring into them to be good citizens. And you hear them. I can't tell you how many kids came up and said, you know, Patriot Academy changed my life, or Patriot Academy changed the direction of my life, or God spoke to me this week for the first time. And we had a chapel service on Thursday night. Oh, man, if I could just convey to you the way God moved in these kids' lives, it was just incredible. And so then, so if that wasn't enough, so we get through that through Saturday, and then Sunday afternoon we had the graduation for our scholars. Now the difference with the students that were here for a week or a month, the scholars are with us for a whole year. And so they have been pouring blood, sweat, and tears into the campus, helping us build things. They've had incredible apologetics training, moral philosophy, government, all these things. From my good friend Krish Dunham, who is just an incredible apologist and teacher, and literally, I don't say it because he's Indian, but he's literally like our guru. I mean, the guy is just he just loves the Lord so much and has such a good witness and such a good teacher to the students. I just love Krish, and he and his wife Anila basically, you know, bought into our vision and caught the vision and said, we want to finish strong. And he's been with Zig Ziglar for 30 something years and traveling the world for Zig until he passed away 10 years ago, and then just doing ministry and still, you know, big conventions and all that kind of stuff for the last 10 years. And so anyway, he's been pouring into these kids for a year, and I've been pouring into these kids for a year, and my wife and all these people on campus. And I don't know if you've ever done anything like that, but to see those kids get up there, and when I say kids, again, these are 18, 19, 20, one of them 25 years old, they got up and gave speeches at the graduation. And I am just, like, even today, this is Tuesday, so I'm 48 hours removed from that, and I'm still dehydrated from crying so much, okay? Like, my body is just, it was just special. It really was. To see the dream that we had to do what Patriot Academy's done for 25 years and sew into a one-year, really intense program in just about a dozen young people, and to see that vision come true was just amazing, amazing. So I share that with you because I wanted to give you hope. I want you to know there really is, there is a Calvary on the way. Their help is on the way. These kids are amazing. What God is doing with them is just incredible. And if you could have heard, in fact, if you get a chance, just go on the Patriot Academy Facebook page and just go on Facebook, search for Patriot Academy, go to our main page there, and just watch. You can fast forward through my stuff and all this stuff. Just listen to these kids. Listen to these kids, and you will be so encouraged. And I will admit, I am biased, but my son and my daughter-in-law, who ran this whole thing, they're in their mid-20s, and have one beautiful, beautiful baby girl, my granddaughter, and another one on the way. And they're the ones that shepherded this program. And to watch them, I was a proud papa. It was really, really cool. So, PatriotAcademy.com. And if you've got a young person that you think would be interested, we've already, we pretty much filled our slots for this upcoming year with the scholarship money that we had. But if you got an outstanding applicant, we might could scrounge together another couple of scholarships. So if you're interested in that, if that sounds amazing to you, patriotacademy.com/institute, patriotacademy.com/institute, and you can learn more about that program. It's a $15,000 scholarship, so it's a significant scholarship that we're giving out, and it covers all their tuition and lodging and all that. They still got to buy their groceries, and we have part-time jobs for them to do that. But I just think you're an audience. The people that listen to At the Core, the people that listen to American Family Association in general, tend to be people that love our country and that love the Bible and love God's word, but also apply God's word. They're not. You know, you a lot of people say I'm a Christian, but most of our listeners, you are biblical Christians. You actually, we're all flawed, but we do the best we can to actually apply the Bible to our lives, to actually live it out. And so I know if that's you, that you have a heart for the country where you have seen the nation move away from biblical principles and biblical Christianity into this fake, soft, nice pseudo-Christianity. That's not really Christianity. It's certainly not Christ-following because it's not at all like what Jesus himself was. But it's very much, I'd even say cultish in terms of it cares more about the membership and the system than it does the individual or even staying true to God's word. So that's not you, though. You probably would not be listening to this program if that was you. And so for those of you that are biblical Christians, Patriot Academy's Institute and the things that we saw last week with our Leadership Congress should give you significant hope. And I want to give a shout-out to the Wildman family and to American Family because, you know, AFA started supporting us way back when we first started this thing. We started 25 years ago, got our first one off the ground 22 years ago, and David Barton and Wall Builders, of course, were big supporters of ours and helped make it happen. But we were a rinky-dink operation. I mean, we didn't have any staff. Kara, my wife, and I, we essentially funded it out of our, you know, pocket, and it was really just a one-week-a-year thing. It wasn't a year-round thing and didn't need a lot of staff. And then it just kept growing and kept growing. And then Walker came to Patriot Academy, and Tim Wildman had been watching and seeing what we were doing and said, you know, this is something we need to get behind. And so, you know, American Family started talking about it in the magazine and on the online and on the radio program, started interviewing me. And this was, man, I want to say 15 years ago. It might have been 10. I think it was 15 years ago. It was way back when we were little bitty and just getting started. And that was a huge boost for us. We had a lot of kids that came because they, you know, someone in their family or they heard it on American Family Radio or they read about it. If I remember right, we even did, AFA did scholarships and has been very supportive of us just donating when we needed help. And so all the lives that were changed over this last week and month and year, you were a part of that. If you've ever donated to American Family during the you know, the week that we raise money and spend that whole week talking about all where the funds are going, well, Patriot Academy is one of those recipients. When you donate to American Family, you're helping Patriot Academy. They're going to send some of that to us and help us train these kids. And so when you watch, if you happen to go to the Facebook page, and you go to Patriot Academy and you watch the graduation and you see these kids talk about how it changed their life and the trajectory of their life and what they're going to go do now, be proud and just know that you had a part to play in that, assuming that you've been supporting American Family Association. I know some people just listen and they enjoy. It's kind of like I say this about citizens all the time. There's a lot of American citizens that just, oh, they love the blessings of liberty, man. They live out the blessings of liberty, but they don't do much to bear the burden of preserving it. They don't do much to make sure that it's getting passed on to the next generation. Don't be that guy or that gal. Be the biblical citizen that is a good steward of what you've been given, donating to American Family so that we can do these radio programs, we can reach people and do all the different things that we're doing. And then, of course, know that that's helping with Patriot Academy and allowing us to fulfill our mission as well. When I come back from the break, we'll talk about National Truth for Youth Bible Week, another aspect of what American Family does, and another aspect of raising up that next generation. I think this focus on the next generation and preparing these kids to be good biblical citizens and to be servant leaders, man, that's, I don't know if you could be more excited about giving to something. That's investing in your kid and your grandkids' future. Even if your kid or grandkid doesn't go to, a Patriot Academy program or a National Truth for Youth Bible Week, the more citizens that do these programs, the better off your kids are going to be and your grandkids are going to be, because you're going to have a better society to live in. You're going to have a better neighborhood to live in. You're going to have places that actually uphold those biblical values and therefore make it possible for us to even be free. So anyway, when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit more about that, and we'll obviously get into your phone calls, and then there's some crazy headlines. I got to talk about the cowards in Texas, the Democrat cowards in Texas that have once again run off to hide. That's what they do. It's in the first time, second time, third time, fourth time. I'm even going to tell you about the first time in 1870 when they were being such racist back then. Stay with us. We'll be right back on At the Core.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you are a pastor's wife, come be encouraged and renewed as you share your challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 28th through the 30th. You're invited to join us at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee for 3 days of encouragement, renewal, and worship. Once again, Brother Bert Harper, AFA Director of Family and Pastoral Ministries, will host the retreat along with his wife, Jan. Our special speaker will be J.J. Jasper of American Family Radio. If you've attended in the past, we'd love to see you again. And if you've never experienced a fishbowl retreat, we especially invite you to be refreshed and renewed. The per-couple admission price includes lodging, meals, and materials. Visit repairingthefoundations.net to learn more and register. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with us. I was going to tell you about National Truth for Youth Bible Week. Get some Bibles into the hands of this next generation. You want to raise them up, right? You want to make sure they're good biblical citizens? You got to get a Bible in their hands to make that happen. National Truth for Youth Bible Week. It's this week, August 4th through the 8th. So we're giving away thousands of Bibles. Now, we've given away millions of Bibles, but we're giving away thousands over the last 24 years. So we want to give away thousands more this year. AFR and Revival Fires International are partnering to provide the only hope for teens as they return to school. And, of course, we know where real hope is. It is in the truth of God's Word. So help us reach them. This is a great chance. A lot of people complain about the next generation, but they don't do much to reach the next generation. We're going to give you a way to do that. We're going to get God's Word back into our schools through the kids themselves. Now, we're also working on some Bible curriculum for schools, but that's different from this. We're going to distribute Truth for Youth Bibles to teens all over the nation. I can't even imagine being a kid these days with all the junk that they face. These are troubled times, and these kids are facing all kinds of challenges that you and I did not have to face when we were kids. And so they need, even though there's nothing new under the sun, the onslaught on them is greater than ever. So let's get some real hope in their hands. They need Jesus. They need God's Word. And as Christian young people, even the chance for them to give out a Bible at school. And that's what we're doing. We're giving them to Christian kids so that they can then turn around and give them to other kids at school. So they're going to be reaching others for Christ on their campuses. You do that on the campus, it'll reach cities and nations. We're watching it on college campuses all over the country, this revival that's happening right now. So let's do the same thing with the younger kids. As Christian teens begin to flood our schools with Jesus through the distribution of Truth for Youth Bibles, we're going to witness the greatest youth awakening that the world has ever seen. Now's the time. This is the generation. I witness it, folks. I'm telling you firsthand. I see the results through Patriot Academy. So I get to see these kids that are on fire for the Lord and how they're leading the revival. But they need, think of it this way. Think of it as fuel in the tank. They need some ammo in the gun, if you will. That's probably the wrong metaphor. But we need truth in their hands. We need to get these Bibles in their hands so that they can give them to us. I was just this morning, in fact, where I was, we were doing some of our cleanup with some of the flood relief, and somebody pointed out someone that needs a Bible. And I thought, you know, sometimes we think everybody's got a Bible because we got 1,400 of them in our own homes, right? But that reminded me today how important it is for us to distribute God's truth. So that's what we're going to do here with Truth for Youth Bibles. Get these kids with the ammo they need to go out there and win souls. So here's what you can do. Revival Fires International, what they're doing is they're giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between 13 and 18 that promises to pass it along to a friend in school this year. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. The Truth for Youth Bible is now available even in Spanish. I've been working hard to learn Spanish, but I'm not even going to try right now to speak it over the air because I'll mess it up. Over 1 million Truth for Youth have already been given away in the past 24 years as a result of this project. So let's up that number this year. Thousands of young people have received Christ because they get God's word. More than 30,000 over the last 24 years. Think about that, 30,000 souls. Our goal this year, we want to get 65,000 Bibles into the hands of teens to then give out to people in their schools. So parents, you can order the Bible on behalf of your son or daughter, or teens can call in to get one. You can also order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. So two ways to order the free Bible, okay? Go to the website, tfy.org, tfy.org, or you can call the phone number, 800-733-4737, 800-733-4737. That's 800 RF Fires, and you want to call between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. or you can go online anytime. So tfy.org. That's tfy.org. Okay, man, you talk about some folks that obviously need the Bible in their hands because the Bible will infuse you with courage. There's just no substitute for God's word if you want to get a good foundation in truth so that you have the courage to do the right thing. Whether or nobody's looking or you're in the spotlight, I'm telling you, the Democrat Party in Texas needs courage because right now they're a bunch of wimps. They have run off and left the state again. They've tucked their little tails between their legs and they've scurried off to hide. Not for the first time, not the second time, not even the third time in my lifetime. It's the fourth time. So they did this in 2021. So they did it this year. They did it in 2021. They did it in 2003. They did it in 1991. They did it in 1981. They did it in 1970. I forget the Killer Bees year. But you know what's interesting to me is every time they do it, it's out of some selfish motive that's entirely I mean, everything's political. I mean, I truly believe that everything's political because political is just how you treat your neighbors, and everything is going to be about that to some extent. But this is like there's a difference between a patriot that does political things for the next generation and a politician that does political things for themselves. All they care about is the next election. And that's what these people are. All they care about is the next election. And so here they go. They go scurrying off to hide. They're trying to stop the Texas legislature from doing its job and redistricting and actually getting a more accurate representation in Congress for the people of Texas. If you're not aware, the way that we decide who gets to go to Congress and represent their states is based on population. And when I say Congress, I mean the House side. I know we say Congress, and I mean a lot of people use that to say the Senate and the House. I'm referring specifically to the House. Little civics lesson. We all need reminders, okay? Every state gets two senators, okay? That doesn't change based on population. So little old Wyoming gets two, and then big old California gets two. So every state gets two senators. This was the great, you know, compromise that allowed the Constitution, one of the major issues that had to ultimately be worked out, was basically saying, okay, we're gonna let the big states have more members of the House, but the little states get the same number in the Senate. So every state gets two senators, but then each state gets more members of the House of Representatives depending on how many people they have, how many citizens they have living in their state. That's the way it's supposed to work, is citizens in their state. That's why the Constitution talks about not counting Indians, because they weren't considered citizens and they had their own governments on their reservations and all these other reasons that you don't count people that aren't subject to all of those laws and are active citizens. So what we did was we said, okay, at some point, and the Constitution doesn't lay out how many members of Congress there will be. That's actually done by federal law, and we ended up capping it at 435 as it continued to grow. And so now there's only 435 members of the House, and each House district has roughly the same number of citizens living in it. Had the First Amendment of the 12 amendments sent to the states in the Bill of Rights been ratified, then we would have a varying number of House members. In fact, there'd be about 7,000 members of the House right now had that thing got verified. The only thing worse than 435 politicians, and I mean that in terms of poly and tick, blood-sucking, but many of them. Only thing worse than 435 of them would be 7,000 of them. So anyway, back to the point. I know I'm just all over the map today. Back to the point. What was my point? So redistricting decides how many the census decides, the enumeration decides how many House members for each state, and then each state decides where the lines are going to be for where those House districts are drawn. So if you're a little bitty state like Wyoming, and you only have one member of Congress, you get your two senators, but you only have enough population for one member of Congress, well, then the state is the line for that member of Congress. So you don't have to do redistricting in that state for the federal House. You have to do it for your state House members. But if you're a big state like Texas or California or Florida, and you got 38 or 40 House seats, then you have to decide what's the boundary for each of those House seats. You have to draw lines and decide, how do I split up the entire state of Texas, for easy math, let's say into 40 districts. And for easy math, let's just say there's 40 million people in Texas, even though there's not. It's like, I think we're at 28 or 30 or something. But for easy math, let's say that there's 40 million people in Texas instead of 30 million. And there's 40 House seats instead of 38 or whatever it is we have. Okay, so then that's easy math. You can say, well, in that case, that means there's going to be, what is that? That's not a million. That would be, so if you got 40 and there's, so you got a million people in each district. So now what you got to do is you got to figure out a way to draw the lines for each House district so that there's as close as possible to exactly 1 million people in that district. And so what people do and have always done, and when I say always, I mean I'm going back to Elbridge Gerry, signer of the Declaration of Independence, for gerrymandering. That's where that word comes from. A signer of the Declaration named Elbridge Gerry, who went on to be vice president, was governor of Massachusetts, and the redistricting map had a district that looked like a salamander. It had been so, you know, manipulated in order to get the result that the people drawing the lines wanted, and so they nicknamed it gerrymandering. That's where that comes from. So it's been around since there's been, you know, members of Congress. And I don't care who you are, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, Daffy Duck Party, everybody's got a bias. And everybody is going to draw those lines to best represent, to get as many seats possible for their party. That's how it works. I don't care if you create a commission. All these people say, oh, we'll take politics out of it. We'll have a commission. No, the commissioners are going to be political. Oh, we'll have a Supreme Court judge. No, the Supreme Court justices are political. Everybody's got human nature. Everybody's got bias. And so the best way to do this is you leave it up to the legislature and let the elected representatives of the people draw the lines. That's how we do it in Texas. Okay. So that brings us to today, and the Democrats running away, scurrying away and hiding, as they always do, over the weekend. They're doing that because the Texas House is redrawing the lines in such a way that there'll probably be five more Republicans out of Texas than there is right now. Now, if you say, oh, that's not fair, they're doing that just to get more Republicans than they should, because surely the current system has exactly the number of Republicans that should represent Texas. Well, let me give you another number, because in Congress right now, there's 435 members of Congress. It's a slim majority for the Republicans. What is it, two or three? There are about 20 seats right now being held by Democrats that only have Democrat representatives and Democrat lines because illegal aliens were counted in the enumeration, the census. And only because Joe Biden tweaked the formula, his people tweaked the formula on day one, January 20th, 2021, as soon as he came into office, just before the census was being completed and the lines were about to be, or the numbers were about to be sent back to the states, they monkeyed with the formula. They changed the formula. And that's why Clarence Thomas and I believe it was Sam Alito have said multiple times in dissenting opinions that you should be doing what the founder said you should do, which is a head count. You have to physically count every person. You don't get to do this statistical manipulation and extrapolation because it becomes manipulation. Somebody's going to have the ability and be tempted and then often decide to cheat in order to get more, get the formula to go the way that they want. Okay. So right now, so if you're concerned that Texas is about to change the lines in Texas to more accurately represent the Republican voting strength of Texas and end up with five more Republicans in the U.S. Congress than Texas currently sends, then don't forget that right now there's about 20 Democrats that should be Republicans in Congress if we were accurately represented, not by illegal aliens, but by American citizens, both Democrat and Republican. If you divided it up accurately without counting illegal aliens, you'd have about 20 seats that would flip. Now, if 20 seats flip, that doesn't mean you go from a 3-vote majority to a 23-vote majority. That means you go from a 3-vote majority to a 43-vote majority, because that means one side loses 20 and another side gains 20. That's a 40-vote swing. Okay, so that's what should be happening right now. President Trump should be calling for a complete redo of the census itself, and then the states redraw all the lines based on that, and you would have a more accurate reflection of the American people and probably have, well, not probably, you would have way better legislation passing right now in Washington, D.C. Okay, now, bring that all the way back to that's what they're trying to do in Texas, redraw the lines in Texas like the legislature's absolutely constitutionally empowered to do. And so now that they're doing that, the Democrats know that they don't have the votes to stop it. So they know they're going to lose five congressional seats, including Jasmine Crockett, which is actually, as I think Tim Barton said on our radio program today, is a blessing to humanity. Like, Democrat, Republican, everybody should be glad that she's going to lose her seat. Anyway, and so what the Democrats are doing is just trying to prevent a vote from happening, prevent the Texas legislature from being able to convening by doing what's called breaking quorum. There's just enough of them that they can leave the state and there's not a 2/3 members present, which would allow for a quorum. So there's like 96 right now, or 92. I think it's 92 showed up today. And so they need eight more, and all the Democrats are gone. They've left town. So they've literally run away and hid. And now, you know, I told you this the first time. In 1870, you know why the Democrats did this? Because they were trying to protect the KKK so that the KKK could keep lynching not only blacks, but whites as well, all Republicans. Let's not forget that 25% of the 4,900 or whatever it was lynchings that took place in the South, 25% of those were whites. They were after any Republican. And if you weren't carrying, if you didn't have your gun on you, exercising your Second Amendment rights, you got lynched. And so the state of Texas was trying to create a state police force to fight the KKK. What did the Democrats do? They ran off and hid because they were trying to once again protect their party and protect their racist policies and literally trying to protect, in that case, lynching. And the funny thing is, the sergeant at arms found them. He found the 12 senators that had run off and hid. They hid in a basement office. So he dives through the window and rolls up in the offices, all in the state journal, tells them, you know, boys, let's go. He arrests them, takes 10 of them to jail. They have to stay in jail for the rest of the session, and takes two of them out to the Senate floor in order to make quorum and get the bill passed. So that's the history of these wimpy Democrats that right now are acting like they're heroes. They act like they're some kind of hero for running off and hiding. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Texas. It's very embarrassing for the Democrat Party. But it's also a reminder of why process is important, why it's really important to pay attention to how all these things work. And I'm so thankful that Governor Abbott is not putting up with this. And he's literally doing some things I never dreamed he would do. All right, we've got to take a quick break. I'll get back on that one, but you can call in if you'd like. Stay with us. We'll be right back on At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. As I was talking about heading into the break, this scurrying away hiding thing for Democrats, nothing new, all the way back to 1870. And, of course, you know, typically based on the racism of the Democrats. And back then it was, of course, to keep slavery. And then they couldn't keep slavery, lost a war over it. And so they just didn't want to give blacks any rights. And so the Democrats worked really, really hard all throughout the South to prevent blacks from being able to vote, to prevent blacks from having any of the same civil rights as whites. And if that didn't work, their solution was kill them. So they did lynchings, and anybody that was a Republican, they went after, whether you were white or black. And so that's why, as I said, you got, you know, nearly 5,000 lynchings, recorded lynchings in the South, and 25% of them whites. And so, as I was saying, there was just a it's also, I mean, total side note here. I run down these rabbit trails a lot, but it's the reason that the Republican Party is the great defender of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, you know, doesn't give you the right to keep and bear arms. It guarantees the government will not prevent you from being able to exercise your God-given right. So this is a God-given, what do we call, the natural right of armed self-defense. And for Republicans, as a new party starting in 1856 for the purpose of equality and making sure that everybody had the same rights, you know, once the Civil War was over and these lynchings were occurring in the South, the only way you kept yourself alive and didn't get killed if you were caught out there by yourself was you had to have a firearm to fight back. And so that's just kind of in the Republican DNA that the Second Amendment is vitally, vitally important. And for the Democrats, it's in their DNA to run and hide when they don't get their way. They're just that sniveling little, you know, snot-nosed bratty kid on the basketball court that, you know, takes their ball and runs and hides and goes home if they don't get their way and they don't win. That's essentially what we're dealing with here. And you know, it's obnoxious to watch them give their little speeches and act like they're being heroes. But the fact of the matter is, this is their track record, and this is not like this major strong stand to save lives or to, you know, to save babies or, you know, to prevent some evil from happening. They are literally doing this for nothing more than protecting their own political hides. They're literally doing this just to save their own, you know, political careers. They just don't want to lose these congressional seats. And so that's what this is all. It's all party politics for them. And I know you could say, well, then that means the Republicans are doing it for party politics. Well, yes, but they're not running off and hiding. They're just using the votes and the power that they have and that they're supposed to use. I guarantee you, with 100% accuracy, the Democrats would do the same thing, or worse. They would do far worse. Look at what they did when they had power with the Department of Justice and with the FBI. They prosecuted and persecuted their political opponents. Republicans aren't doing that. I mean, they're doing is saying we're going to redraw the lines to reflect Republican voting strength in Texas. And then you look at what the DOJ and the FBI is doing right now that it's Republicans in charge of that. Instead of going after their political opponents and saying, oh, you didn't really do anything wrong, but we just want to stop you from ever being able to have political power again, we're barely able to get them to actually use the power they have to go after the criminals that tried to destroy our justice system. So they're actually trying to balance the scales by actually going after real criminals instead of just going after their political opponents. And I got to tell you, if they don't do that, if they buy into this, oh, now you're persecuting your political opponents, which is not what they're doing, but that's what the left is going to say. If they wimp out and buy into that, what's going to happen next time the Democrats have control? They're going to go after their political opponents again. They're going to do the exact same thing. They're going to lie and cheat and steal, and they're going to use the power of the DOJ to ruin people's lives, put them in jail, put them in solitary confinement, do all the things they did. They're going to do it again unless you make them pay and you make them stop. What they did was a travesty of justice. It was an absolute destruction of the justice system and the Constitution. And if you don't prosecute that kind of stuff, then it's going to come back. If you don't prosecute, look at the $900 exemption. You're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible, right? The Eighth Commandment says not to steal. It doesn't say don't steal any more than $900. That's not what it says. It's don't steal. And so these people in California and these other places that are saying, oh, we don't have time to mess with this if it's just petty theft, if it's under $900. So what has happened? You get more of it. If you don't prosecute crime, you get more of it. I don't care if that's $900 at the local CVS or it's the person jumping the turnstile in the New York subway. Remember when Rudy Giuliani came in, the no broken windows policy, broken window, whatever they called it. Anyway, if you did graffiti, if you broke a window, if you so much as jumped the turnstile, they went after you. And they said, no more of this. We're not going to have this lawlessness. You actually enforced the law. Well, imagine how much more important that is if you have a person like Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State that is violating the law, blatantly violating the law with her security clearance. If you have the President of the United States and his minions approving and hatching plans to completely thwart the American people's choice for president. Literally a coup, literally a presidential coup that, according to a Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard, was a treasonous conspiracy. Not just a conspiracy, a treason. It was treason because they literally tried to prevent the American people, to prevent the Constitution from working as it should, and the American people being able to choose their leader. So that's what the level of crime that these people are doing. If you let that go out of fear that somebody's going to say, oh, you're just doing what the Democrats did to Republicans. No, we're actually going after real criminals here. And if you let it go and you don't go after the real criminals, 100% guarantee that the next time they have the lever of power, the next time they're in the White House or have the DOJ or FBI or whatever, they will 100% do it again. You got to go after them. You got to punish the evildoer in order to at least you won't stop all evil in the future, but I guarantee you, you'll make them think about it. And there'll be some of them that say, are you crazy? I'm not going to jail for this. I'm not going to jail for the next candidate running for president. I mean, if Barack Obama knew that he would end up being prosecuted for what he did, I guarantee you he wouldn't have done it. Why would he have the world by the tail? He's making hundreds of millions of dollars now, making movies and doing speeches and doing all this stuff. He wouldn't have risked that happening unless he was so convinced there's no way it'll ever be discovered, or there's no way, even if it is discovered, that they'll actually prosecute me. I mean, that's the real danger to democracy. I'm using their word. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. That is the danger. That's the real danger to undermining the Constitution and destroying a constitutional republic, is that you end up with people in political power that have no fear of repercussions, no fear of prosecution, and they truly believe they are above the law. How many times did they say that? Nobody's above the law. You know, everybody's got to be treated equally under the law. Yeah, that's exactly what we want. That's exactly what we want. And so now we're going to find out if that's actually going to take place. You know, I haven't given the phone number out once. We only got a few minutes left, but if you want to call in with your comments, questions, or insults, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I didn't get to any of the other headlines. I apologize for that. We're down to about 8 minutes here. We'll see if we can get some calls and see if I can knock out a few of these headlines. The Texas thing's a big deal because, you know, for me, obviously, I'm in Texas, and as a former Texas legislator and watching this stuff unfold, it was actually the session right after I came out and got beat in the legislature because, you know, I was the number one target of the Democrats in Texas because I was the God and guns guy is what they called me. Anyway, it's not just state news, though. This is national news because it's critical to President Trump's agenda to do this, not just in Texas, but Florida and other states, and make sure that you get an accurate representation. But I will say, I don't think it's going to work in the long run unless President Trump orders whoever his new census director is going to be. I believe he still has not appointed a new Census Bureau director. I think he has to order that person to recalculate the entire census with no illegals counted. He can do that. Right now, he absolutely has the constitutional authority to do it. They have plenty of time to do it. In fact, they don't even have to redo the census. They can just go back into the data and just remove all the illegal aliens and only count actual citizens and then reapportion the members of Congress and then tell the legislatures to redraw their lines. Absolutely, it can be done in time. It wouldn't be difficult at all. He's just got to order it. So who knows? I heard he's doing an executive order today. I don't think that's what it'll be. But wouldn't that be nice? Man, you talk about a big step. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. There was a couple other things I wanted to hit real quick at some of the top headlines of the day. I will, you know, I'm an equal opportunity critic. So as much as I praise Trump for the good things he's doing and the boldness and all those things, I don't understand this whole, you know, deported farm workers being allowed to return legally. Wait, let me back up. I'm okay with them being able to return legally as long as you're processing them and as long as, you know, there's not a different treatment for other people that were deported. See, my understanding was that if you didn't deport yourself, if in other words, he gave you that window where you could leave voluntarily, and if you didn't do that and they had to round you up and send you back, that you could not come back legally. I thought that was the deal. And that should be the deal. Don't back off on that, Trump. President Trump, please. I get it. I understand we need people to work. I've always been for 1,000 times harder to come in illegally and 1,000 times easier to come in legally. I understand we need legal immigration. I understand we need people that'll come over here and work, not only in low-skilled labor and farm work, but also in high-skilled labor and tech and that kind of stuff. I get it. We need that kind of stuff for our economy and for the workforce. That's a free market thing. If we don't have enough people in America willing to go out and do the tough jobs, and you have to import workers to do that, fine. You just need to know who they are. Just make sure they're coming in legally. That's all I've ever asked. And then if they come in illegally, then they ruin their chance. They don't unless they self-deport in that sort of not amnesty, because you know it's not amnesty in terms of letting them stay here, but in terms of that we're not going to punish you in the future if you just self-deport, go home, and then get in line and come here legally. You know, I mean, if you had a good job with you know you'd been doing a good job for I don't care if it's farm work or high tech work, then your employer would want you to be able to come back in. And so have a process where those employers can have their request for who they want to, you know, get the green cards for. So anyway, I don't want any hypocrisy from our side to water down or weaken the victories that President Trump should be doing victory laps right now for closing the border and not having these, I shouldn't say closing the border, securing the border and not having this mass influx of illegal aliens coming across the border and so many of them that we don't even know who they are and they're the gotaways. Don't let that victory be spoiled by in any way manipulating the system for, you know, one favored group or another. So I may be 100% wrong on this. So I'm not putting this out there saying that I've really researched this. I'm saying that's what it looks like to me from the outside, and maybe some of you have watched this a lot closer, and we're going to be out of time before you call in today. I apologize for waiting so long to get to the calls, but maybe Thursday call in and maybe you can correct me on this. But my understanding is he's saying that we're going to send them back, and then they essentially are going to be given, you know, the legal path to get back in, which is fine. As long as you're not violating what you said before you were going to do, right? Like if they have to be rounded up and sent back, then they ever get to come back. I think you got to uphold that. If I were a member of Congress, I'd probably be hearing from a lot of constituents about how hard it is to find work and even hard to find, immigrants that are willing to do some of these jobs. And so if they know that this is an employee that is a good employee, and they were here illegally, and somehow they didn't go back, they didn't self-deport, and they got caught, and now they're, you know, being sent back, and they're trying to go to bat for that employee and saying, you know, let them come back legally. I understand, but I think you got to treat everybody the same. Equal under the law, blind justice, everybody gets treated the same. And if that was you, should have gone back, should have self-deported, and then gotten into the system. And I know the system's broke. Talked to a lot of friends that not a lot. I've talked to a few friends that have had to deal with the system, and it is an absolute mess. So I kind of understand why they didn't want to self-deport with just the hope that they would be able to get back in legally and that somehow they get back through the process. I understand that, but I just, man, it is so easy to undermine the agenda by giving the left anything they can seize onto and claim that we're not, you know, being true to what we said we were going to do. And so I could have that all wrong. And everybody out there is welcome to correct me on Thursday. So be sure and call in on Thursday. Let me remind you in my final few seconds with you, patriotacademy.com. If what I talked about in the first segment sounds interesting to you, if you would like to come be a part of our one-month intensive next summer or our one-year institute, which starts in just 6 weeks, we are considering opening up a couple more slots if we see some outstanding applicants. So check that out at patriotacademy.com/institute. If you are a 16 to 25-year-old and you've never been to any of our programs, our last one of the year is in Indiana in just a couple of weeks. In 2 weeks from now, we'll be in Indiana on August 20th, 21st, 22nd, and you can still apply for that. That's for 16 to 25-year-olds, 3 days at the Indiana State Capitol. patriotacademy.com to learn more. Thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.